Wow, I didn't know I was going to get to follow the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Woo! Praise the Lord. That was awesome. Is it time for the invitation?
Sure.
Okay, I've got a real short sermon today. Everybody say, oh boy. Oh boy. I've taught them well. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning. It's an honor to be back with you, especially here this Sunday before the Christmas celebration. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I'm calling the message this morning, Mary's Merry Christmas. So we're going to focus a little bit this morning on the mother, Mary, because it was a pretty unusual deal, wasn't it? Pretty unusual kind of thing. So we're going to kind of highlight that today, and we're going to kind of see how we might fit into the unusualness of what Mary might have experienced. So we're going to be reading verses 26 through 38 here in Luke chapter 1. If you'd like to, stand with me as I read, and then when I get through reading, I'll have a word of prayer and then our message. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Translation. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she's conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. I'm the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Join with me in a prayer. Father, we do come before you this morning in the name and through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. And we thank you again for this Christmas season where we gather together Christians all over the world to celebrate the really unimaginable, inconceivable reality, God becoming a man. The greatest event of all created history, Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, so we're thinking a little bit about Mary, and I kind of want to put ourselves maybe into her place a little bit. It was a troubled time in Israel's history when Mary received this message from this angel. How many of y'all have ever seen an angel? Probably most of us haven't. It would be quite an event to have an angel of Almighty God to show up at your doorstep one day. Amen? That would be pretty cool. It was a troubled time in Israel's history. They were under occupation. The nation was under occupation, the occupation of the Roman Empire. Fortunately for us here in the United States of America today, we're not under any foreign occupation. Amen? And we can thank God for that, for sure. They were under Roman occupation. They had Roman troops roaming around everywhere. They were being heavily taxed by the Roman Empire. Anybody here enjoy paying taxes? What are y'all laughing about? How many of y'all like driving on smooth highways? Ooh, I'm trying to get over here this morning. Have you driven through downtown Little Rock lately on the interstate? Man, I didn't realize they got all of the whole interstate. One side coming this way was closed off. Had to get off the interstate. Got big old cranes about 50 feet tall working over there. It took me an extra 15 minutes to get here. Not just because of that. I took a wrong turn and went over to JFK. Oh, goodness sakes. I had my mind here instead of driving, right? So Roman occupation, Roman troops everywhere. And all of a sudden this young maid, now she was espoused to Joseph, but they were not actually married yet. They hadn't consummated marriage. And this angel shows up and tells her, you're going to have a baby. And it isn't going to be Joseph's baby. Now, I don't know if you are aware, I'm sure you are aware, that during that time for a young girl to get pregnant out of wedlock, the penalty was stoning to death. That was potential to be stoned to death. So basically what Mary might have been hearing in the back of her mind, okay, this angel's just giving me my death notification. I'm going to get stoned to death because everybody knows that Joseph and I, you know, even though we're engaged, sort of kind of espoused together, we hadn't consummated a marriage yet. So that was a kind of a troubling thought. But after hearing it, hearing the angel's message, you remember what she said, be it unto me as the Lord wills. Amen. I think there's a lesson for all of us. This first point I want to call our 3D world. Y'all know what three-dimensional is, right? Height, breadth, and width, however that goes, height, depth, 3D. How many of y'all have a 3D television set? Nobody, right? We see TVs two-dimensional right now. They're working on it. I know here a few weeks ago for Thanksgiving, my family and I, our three adult kids and their kids, we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for 5 or 6 days. We got to go through Dollywood. We got to see the Dolly Parton Stampede. And our 10-year-old grandson, Caden, he had an amazing thing. They went and Dolly Parton showed up. Not in person, but one of those 3D light kind of things, you know. And he was just amazed by it. She was there in 3D by light. So 3D kind of word, now, dimension that we live in today. And the 3Ds I want to kind of highlight for us this morning about our world today as a 3D world is the word dangerous, disturbing, and dark. That was the kind of 3D world that Mary lived in. And in a lot of ways, we live in a 3D world today. Dangerous, disturbing, and kind of dark. Now, my wife and I, we got married in 1976. I wanted to get married in 1976 for two reasons. One, I was going to be 25 years old. I always wanted to live a quarter of a century before I got married for some reason. And 1976 was our nation's 200th birthday. So I figured I could always remember when I got married because it was during the 200th birthday of the United States of America. So we got married in 1976. And for our 25th anniversary, which would have been in 2011, got any mathematicians in here doing math with me? I wanted to take Mary on a special thing for our 25th anniversary, so we went on a cruise. Mary had never been on a cruise. I'd been on a cruise before. It wasn't exactly like with Royal Caribbean. It was, I got stuck on a United States Navy carrier, helicopter carrier. When they pulled my squadron out of Vietnam, I spent 3 months on the LPH-10 Tripoli, helicopter carrier Tripoli. So I got to go on a three-month cruise on the Tripoli. Wasn't quite like Royal Caribbean cruise. So in 2011, we went on this cruise, an Alaskan cruise. We took a group from our church, had about 50 folks from our church go on this cruise, and we went to Alaska. Have you ever been to Alaska on a cruise? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. So on the third morning of the cruise, we were going into Hubbard Glacier Bay. Going in the night before, I had sung in a talent show. It's kind of like karaoke. And so I had about 45 of our church members went to this talent show, and they had talent scouts. We knew there were going to be talent scouts from the ship because they're always looking for, you know, talent on these cruise lines to do things, put on shows. And we knew there were going to be talent scouts there. And so I did karaoke. I did Sweet Baby Jane, Sweet Baby James Taylor's song. I woke up yesterday morning. They let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. So I sang that song by James Taylor. And when I got through singing it, my 50 folks from the church went crazy. Yay! Plod, jumping up and down, clapping and everything. The talent scouts wanted to talk to me after it was over. Who is this guy? That was an amazing response. So I went over to the talent. There were five of them, these talent scouts. Who are you? Oh, I'm Charlie Winters, Chuck Winters. Have you ever sung before? I've sung some. Did you know any of those people that were clapping and cheering? I said, I'm their pastor. They said, get out of here. The next morning, I got up around 6 o'clock and ordered coffee in the room. They brought coffee to the door. And I turned, now this is on the west side, right? Alaska, west coast. I turned on the TV, and on the east coast it's around 9 o'clock. I turned on TV with my coffee, and we could get CNN, I think that was a station, and I watched a tower fall. I thought it was a movie at first. And in about 15 seconds, I figured out, this is live. It's 9/11. So after I figured out I was watching live news, I got on the phone and I called the deck. And I said, I'm a chaplain with Placid County Sheriff's Department. If y'all need a chaplain, I'm here. 2 minutes later, there was a knock on our door and a worker on the ship handed me a pager and I became the chaplain for the ship, because they didn't have if you can imagine, I was the only preacher on board this cruise line. So I became the chaplain for the Royal Caribbean ship. A couple of days later, the captain of the ship invited my wife and I to come up and meet him. And he said, Chuck, he said, this is really tragic event. He said, I wonder, would you do a chapel service about what's going on, you know, in the big theater? I said, I'd be honored to do so. We did have two people on ship. One lady's uncle served in the Pentagon, and another family had a son that worked with the New York Port Authority. That's a law enforcement agency with the World Trade Towers. By the way, I have a friend who also was a New York Port Authority officer, and I wore his badge this morning. This is New York Port Authority badge, and it says on the badge 9/11. It's a commemorative of the 9/11. My friend survived 9/11. He did die about 5 years later from complications from it. Would you do a chapel service about this? I said, I'd be honored to do so. And so that was going to be on Saturday morning. It's about 4 days after. And I found a gospel quartet on the ship, and so I got the gospel quartet to come and sing. And I brought a brief little message, and that chapel was full of folks, you can imagine, at a time like that. And let me tell you the message I told them. It was a very short point. The point was this. Are y'all listening? We will not live in fear. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to live in fear. In some ways, that was kind of the world that Mary lived in, Roman troops on the soil. We have a lot of stuff going on in our culture today. I'm sure you're aware of it. Terrorism. I introduced it with that story. There's terrorism all around us, right? The threat of terrorism. Have you all heard of anything called coronavirus? Is that a kind of a threat? That's all you can hear about almost on the news, isn't it? Then there was a Delta variant, and now it's Omicron variant, and oh, it's spreading so. And I'm not denying any of it, but I'm just saying that's a reality that we're living with, all right? So we see that on the news all the time, the coronavirus and the variants and the hospitalizations. And let me tell you, there's a bunch of hospitalizations and a bunch of people have passed away from it. I know I do a volunteer chaplaincy with the Baptist hospital system. I do most of it on Fridays up in Conway at the Baptist Hospital in Conway. And so this past Friday, 2 days ago, we had 9 people in intensive care with coronavirus in Conway Baptist Hospital. It's a real deal. So we have that going on. It's in the news all the time. There's always in the news these days about economic turmoil. Have y'all heard any of that? We got ships in the port that can't get cargo unloaded. There's a shortage of this. There's going to be a shortage of that. There's going to be a devaluation of the dollar, yada, yada. I mean, we got bad news every time we turn on the TV. Right? We got Russian troops on the border of Ukraine getting ready to go into Ukraine. We got China threatening Taiwan over there. China are intimidating our ships out at sea. There's a threat of nuclear war all the time. They're developing new kind of nuclear weapons. They've got rockets that can reach American soil. There's global warming. We're burning the planet up because we drive cars that burn gas. Have I mentioned enough stress that we're living under? I'd like to tell you something about global warming, okay? It's climate change now. I forgot. You know what controls the climate of this planet? It's not your car. It's this little thing up in the sky we call the sun. That's what controls the climate. And we're going into a time of global cooling, actually. That's why they changed it from global warming to climate change. Because the sun's in a going into a marauder minimum. And the sun is what controls this thing up there around the northern part of our planet called the jet stream. Y'all ever heard of the jet stream? So the sun drives the jet stream. And that thing, whenever that sun's really cooking and putting out a lot of energy, that jet stream will be going like 200 miles an hour. I mean, we flew over to the Philippines a few years ago, spent a month in the Philippines on a mission trip, started off down in the big island on the south, Mindanao, down where the terrorists are, down on Mindanao. We spent 2 weeks in there preaching on Mindanao. That was a great 2 weeks. And then we went up north. But we were going into that jet stream as we were flying over toward Japan to refuel and then go down. And we were flying in the headwind over 200 miles an hour. That's a jet stream. Well, you know what? The jet stream is slowing down because the sun's energy's slowing down. I mean, you're going to see the jet stream dipping all the way down to Mexico. Have y'all noticed that? That's what controls the climate. Anyway, there's all this talk, fear, dread. So we kind of live in a similar time, a dangerous time, a disturbing time. It's a dark time. It's in our face all the time. Have you ever been a part of a church that felt like it was in trouble? Oh boy, you want to get me fired up. Just let me go into church where... It's tough time. East End Baptist Church, you listening? I've pastored three churches as a senior pastor. And every one of the three churches that I've gone to as a senior pastor, when I went there, they were in troubled time. I remember that I've been in other positions like youth minister and stuff like this. The first church I went to pastor about 1978, this is right before we went to seminary. Well, I was still in college at Little Rock. But Liberty Baptist Church out of Mineral Springs, Arkansas, which is down southwest Arkansas, you went about a half mile down this gravel road, and then you turned on another gravel road, and it ended at the front door of Liberty Baptist Church. It was the gravel road to Liberty. It was out in the middle of nowhere. They didn't have any running water. They had an old outhouse with two seats in it. I never did quite figure that out. An outhouse with two seats. No partition between them. You know how many people Liberty Baptist Church was running in church when we went there that first Sunday? Three. And all three of them were over 70 years old. So I preached that morning, and we had a little baby at that time. I preached that morning, getting ready to leave. And Brother Funderburg, he was a deacon, he was a man. Then there was Aunt Verna Schooley and Evelyn Funderburg, his wife. He came up to me after it was over, and he put a $50 bill in my hand, which was kind of offensive. I wasn't expecting any money. And Brother Funderburg, tears started coming to his eyes. And he said, Chuck, he said, we were ready to close the church. We were going to close it down, sell the property, and go into Mineral Springs to the Baptist Church in Mineral Springs. But if you'll give us a try, they knew I'd be there about a year and then I'd be leaving. If you'll give us a try, we'll try one more time. I said, you got a deal. So after the end of that 10 months, 11 months later, when we're getting ready to go to Fort Worth Seminary, we were running about 35 or 40. God was doing good. I went there about 10 years ago. They had their, I think, 80th anniversary, something like that, and they'd built a new building. They'd drilled a well. God bless them. Amen. The second church that I pastored, I followed it. There was a preacher in the church that had committed adultery in the church. It was devastating. It really hurts the church when that happens, doesn't it? This church where I've been for 31 plus years before our new senior pastor's there, when I went there in view of a call, well, our executive director of the convention called me before I went there and said, don't go there, it's a preacher killer church. I went there and they had fighting, they'd had a church split, they'd had adultery in the pulpit in that church also. When we got through talking, I preached one Sunday, I met with the deacons, we had a talk, and then one of the men on the search committee came to me and said, you know, Chuck, he said, 4 months behind on all of our bills, we don't even know if we can pay you. But if you'll give us a shot, we'll try again. I said, that's exactly where I want to go. Amen? You ever feel like there's just trouble everywhere? Trouble in the world? Trouble inside the church? Problems, problems, problems. I love it. Mary, a young virgin maid, has an angel show up to her. You know what he said? He said to her, look at verse 28. This is the second point. Luke 1, 28. The angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. In the middle of all of the stuff that was going on, and with this announcement that she's going to have a baby out of wedlock, so to speak, he says, you're favored by God. You know, sometimes I think we get the idea, go to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Sometimes I think we've got the idea in the United States of America that if we're really favored by God, if we're really blessed by God, that means we're not going to have any problems. That means that everything's going to be smooth sailing. Prosperity, comfort, ease, right? That's the favor of God, right? It's kind of what our world wants to tell us today. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Did he say anything in there about no problems? Did I miss something? I'd kind of like to put it this way. As chosen by God, and I want you to put yourself in this seat, I'm talking to each of us individually, as a child of God, you are favored by God and chosen in Christ for God's purpose. And I want to underline this. That doesn't mean no problems. That does not mean no challenges. Sometimes quite the contrary. And so East End, every member, I just want to say to you this morning, you're favored by God. As an individual believer, you're favored by God. As a corporate body, as a church body, East End Baptist Church, it's no accident you're here on this location. God put you here for His purpose, for His glory. You're favored by God. Each of you is an individual believer. You are the temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God resides within you. How much power, how much authority does God have? Innumerable, amen? Indescribable. All around us, it's dangerous out there. It's disturbing out there. It's dark out there. I know a few years, we go every so often now to El Salvador on mission trips. And I've been down to El Salvador 3 times. I think I told you last November, a year ago November, I got to preach virtually to over 32 nations, over 3.5 million people logged in. I got to preach to live, virtually, on planet Earth. If you'd have told me 10 years ago I was going to preach to over 3 million people live, I'd have said you were crazy. Amen? God's up to something. In this dangerous, dark, disturbing world that we're in, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out like never before over this planet. God's at work in the world. I was in El Salvador. The second time I went down there, the lead pastor came to me one morning and he said, "Chuck, we have an invitation." I said, "What's that?" I was supposed to go preach in a prison in El Salvador. It's a federal prison. Most of them were gang members. You've heard of MS-13. Okay. And they'd had some kind of an uprising in the prison, and the prison was shut down, locked up. And I was kind of befuddled because I was looking forward to getting to go preach in that prison, and all of a sudden I can't go, and so I'm sitting there. And then he comes and he says, "Chuck, we just got a call." I said, What's the call?" He said, "We got a call from, I'm not going to say the exact group, but it was from a MS group. They heard there's this American preacher. They want you to come preach to them. Would you be willing to do that?" I said, "What time are we leaving?" "Amen?" He said, "If you're willing to go, we're going to go right now." So we went out. We were in the city of Usulutan. I'm in El Salvador. Usulutan. And we went on the outside of the city of Usulutan. It was about an hour drive, and it's a big metropolitan area, kind of like Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we were in kind of Cabot, sort of Little Rock, outside of town. We go to this building that's about the half size of your auditorium here. And there's chairs set up in there, and we go in, and there's a few ladies there with some children, and my lady interpreter, I had 2 interpreters, a male and a female, the lady interpreter with me, she started talking with those two or three ladies and entertaining the children, and we were waiting, and the head local pastor, Brother Ed, he told me, he said, "Now when they come in," he said, "they will look at the floor, and they will never look at you. They will never look at you." Okay. And so here in about 10 minutes here, they came in. They came in order, about 30 or so, and they sat down looking at the floor. And I mean, you know, it was all the tattooing and all. I mean, it was the real deal. And so one of the local men, brother, had his guitar, and he sang a few songs with him, you know, hymns and stuff. It was really good. They didn't sing, and they looked at the floor. And we sang. And it was time for me to preach. And so I got up, and I said, "How many of y'all have ever been shot at?" Every hand went up. I said, How many of y'all, I'm not going to ask you to respond to this one. I said, how many of y'all ever shot at anybody? And they all just kind of giggled. I said, let me share something with y'all. I said, I served in Vietnam. I was a door gunner in Marine helicopters. I said, I know what it's like to be shot at. And I said, and I know what it's like to shoot. Every head came up, and they never took their eyes off of me after that. And I got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with 30 some odd MS gang members. Amen? I'm just saying that to say sometimes the world can be kind of dangerous, kind of disturbing, kind of dark. We need to remember who we are, who our God is. That angel said to Mary, you are favored. God is with you. My brother and sister, I have a message for you today. You're favored. God is with you. God is in you as a child of God. Last point. I call this point faith against the odds. Look again, Luke chapter 1, 34. Faith against the odds. Here we are back at Mary. Mary asked the angel, how can this be? I've not been intimate with a man. And let me tell you, everybody knew that. Everybody knew that. The angel replies to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Consider your relative Elizabeth. She's conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month for who was called barren. Verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Faith against the odds. We talk a lot about faith. Let me ask you, how's your faith? What kind of odds are in front of you, church as a church? What kind of odds are in front of you as an individual? I think in closing, just I want to highlight this with the story of Esther. You know, there's a book in the Old Testament, Esther. They were under occupation, the Jews. They were in a foreign land. They were in captivity. And as our all-sovereign God had worked it out, Esther became wife to this foreign king. And this foreign king, he didn't really realize that Esther was a Jew. And he puts this old guy named Haman in charge, kind of prime minister, but I mean really in charge. And Haman, he hated the Jews. That sound familiar? He hated them. And so he worked it out. He made a decree on a certain day, on a certain day, on a certain day, every Jew, men, women, and children, are to be slaughtered. Killed. Does that sound kind of dangerous? Kind of disturbing and dark? On a certain day, everyone to be annihilated. Mordecai, Esther's uncle, comes up and says, You need to go talk to the king about this. Esther's kind of hesitant. I could be killed. And Mordecai tells her there in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "You've been born for a time such as this." Amen? And so she did. She walked right into the face of danger, right into the face of death itself, and made her appeal. "You're born for a time such as this." My brothers and sisters, Mary was born for a time. In the fullness of time, the Bible tells us, in the fullness of time, that angel went to Mary and said, "You're favored, highly favored by God for a time such as this." East End Baptist Church, you're highly favored. And you have been chosen for a time such as this. Individual brother and sister in Christ, you're highly favored, and you have been chosen for a time such as this. Let me lead us in prayer, and then we'll close. Father, again, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for your divine wisdom, for your providence, for the presence and power of your Spirit, and for your purpose. We thank you that you have chosen us for this day. You have chosen us for this time, for a time such as this. This is our time. This is our day. By your will, by your choice, we are yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stand, please.